Hallelujah. We are ready, the God is ready. Father in heaven, we want to thank you that you are present here. And today, Lord, this is a special day. We pray that you give us a special word to encourage us, Father God, in our journey of faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I want to speak on greater glory. I have no clue, Dulcie had no clue what the message was going to be, and I have no clue what the songs were going to be, but I praise God that, you know, glory, zeal, hunger, and holiness, these are all themes of the songs that we sang this morning. Praise God. And greater glory. You know, when Solomon built the temple, they used tons of gold. The father had actually kept the gold and the cedar and everything, the plants, everything. And even the wars were fought. In Solomon's time, there was not a single war that he fought. And he was free to just build this temple, this magnificent temple. But in the book of Haggai, and that's our verse this morning, Haggai chapter 2, verse 3. This is the word that is coming to the people in Haggai's time, the people who are building the temple, Zerubbabel and Joshua, the high priest, and the remnant who had come back from captivity. 70 years these people were in exile, and after 70 years they're coming back to Jerusalem. And when they come back to Jerusalem, they come back to build the temple of God. And they're building the temple, and as they begin to build, the work is stopped because of the enemies. They complain to the Medo-Persian kings, and the work is stopped. And after many years, God sends his prophets Haggai and Zechariah, and they come to encourage the people of God, encourage them to build. And as these people start, they start in the sixth month, and you know, 1 month later, the word of God comes to the people through the prophet Haggai, and this is the word. As they started building, they said, "Who is left among you who saw this temple in its former glory? How do you see it now? In comparison with it, is it not in your eyes as nothing?" These people have started a building, and the building that they're building is a very small building. Very small, very obscure. As compared to the gold that was used, the ornaments and the size and all that, compared to that, the temple that these people were building, the second temple, very small. Very small. So the prophet is asking, has anybody, who among you has seen this temple in its former glory? And there were a few people, old people who had lived long, you know, 70 years there, and must have been 20, maybe 90 years, 100 years. Those people would have seen Solomon's temple. Because when the people were taken into captivity, when Nebuchadnezzar came and took the people into captivity, he destroyed the city, he burned the city, he destroyed the temple also. So 70 years later, these people are coming. So those people who had seen the temple in its former glory, Solomon's temple, would have certainly been 80 plus, 90 plus. And so these people remembered, yes, there was a temple in all its magnificence and glory. And then he says, this is God speaking to the people through Haggai. He says, how do you see it now? How do you see it now? I'll not put the second temple. But how do you see it now? And he says, is this not in your eyes as nothing? Is this not in your eyes as nothing? The second temple that the people were building looked as if it was nothing. Very ordinary as compared to this magnificent temple. And that is when the Lord gives the promise. The Lord gives a promise. There are three things that are said there. Haggai chapter 2 verse 7. The first part. Haggai chapter 2 verse 7 says, I will shake heaven and earth, sea and dry land, and I will shake all nations, and they shall come to the desire of nations. I will shake, he says, I will shake heaven and earth, I will shake the nations, I will shake the kingdoms before I reveal my glory. You know, as they're building this little temple, he's saying, look, you're building a temple, and you know, before they stopped work, they were so encouraged because the heathen king had given money, authority to go back to the land and build the temple. But when they started building, and when the work was stopped by the enemy powers, they had no confidence, they had no boldness, they lost all hope. And now when they are rebuilding, they are building it in a small way. The Lord is saying, I will shake heaven and earth, and I will shake the nations also. God is a God who shakes heaven and earth for His purposes to be fulfilled. You remember times when God shook heaven and earth? God made changes in nature. He made it rain for 40 days. He may open the springs in heaven and the springs in earth. It flooded the whole earth. Entire humanity was lost. God is able to shake the heavens. He poured fire and brimstone on Sodom and Gomorrah, and the nations, those cities were burned. God is a God who is able to shake. When He wanted to teach Pharaoh a lesson, He shook the heavens. He sent darkness. He sent hailstorms. He sent locusts. God is able to shake the heavens for His kingdom, for His purpose. And He says, I will shake the nations. And here, in this time, the people of Israel had seen the Babylonians, had seen the Assyrians come and take the kingdom of Israel captive. They had seen the Babylonians come and take them captive, Judah captive. And now there's a new government. The Lord is saying He will shake these nations also for His plans and His purposes to be fulfilled. You know, when we are not living in London, we are not living in America, we are living in India. You know, certain nations in the world, they don't have the freedom and liberty that many of the Western countries have. We here are entering into a time of a difficult time. We all hoped that the government would change and we'd have more freedom. But you know, God is a God who's supreme. He's kept this government up there for a reason. We don't understand, but He knows. And the Lord says He will shake kingdoms. No government on this earth, whichever country, can say that we will be in power for 200 years. No government lasted 200 years, 500 years. God is the one who shakes nations. When He decides, He sets them in power. When He decides, He deposes them. And God will do that. Why? For His glory. He says, I will fill this temple with glory. I will fill this temple with glory. The people looked at the old temple. The people who remembered the old temple looked at this little temple and said, oh, what is this? This is nothing as compared to such a huge, magnificent temple that Solomon built. But the Lord said, this temple, right here, I will fill this temple with my glory. You think God could not have given enough money and enough facilities for those people who returned from exile to build a temple as magnificent as Solomon's temple? You know, the Medo-Persians were more powerful than the Babylonians. And the Babylonians were more powerful than the kingdom of Israel and Judah at that time. They had more money, more power, more everything. God, if He had decided, He could have done that. He made Israel find, He made Jerusalem and Judah find favor from the Medo-Persians, from Cyrus, from Darius, from all those kings. He made them find favor. Money was nothing. He could have given that. But God, for a particular reason, kept the temple in its state. You know, very often, because of the outward glory, we miss out the inward glory. Solomon's temple had everything outward, everything that was required, you know, the gold and the silver and the sacrifice and all that was, all the protocol was there. But by the time they went captive, the real glory was gone. Read the book of Ezekiel very nicely. You know, I always wondered, why is it that God let the temple be burnt, let the people be burnt, let the cities be burnt, but why did He let the temple be burnt? And Ezekiel says it very nicely, how the glory departed from the temple before the temple would be destroyed. The glory departed from the temple. And the Lord says, now when you're building this temple, it's not as glorious outwardly. It doesn't have the show and the pomp of the old temple. But now in this temple, in this ordinary building, I will fill it with my glory. And that is the promise. On the 7th anniversary, I want us to remember that the Lord's promise for the second temple is there for us in the church today. The Lord says, I will fill this temple with my glory. And the third thing that he says is, the glory of the latter temple will be greater than the former. The glory of the latter temple will be greater than the former. We have not seen God's glory. We have not seen the splendor. We have constantly, our eyes are on all the outward things. And because of that, we are actually distracted. We are distracted. I grew up in a traditional church. And if the mic was in a different place, there will be a dispute after church. You know, that's the kind of tradition we have grown in. And we've lost the glory that God wants to fill. And he says, I will fill this temple. And the latter glory will be greater than the former glory. And that is the promise that God has. Not just for the second temple. For us here in 2019, in this place where we are meeting, the Lord's promise is that the latter glory, the glory today, will be greater than the glory that Solomon or anybody in the past has seen. In 1995, we had the privilege of visiting this huge church in Seoul, Korea, called the Yeouido Full Gospel Church. Many of us know Dr. Paul Yong-Cho, and the New Life Assemblies where we were worshipping, they sent a team of us to be with them. There was a missionary couple who had come all the way from there, and they took us. And it was a very special visit. It was not just a tourism visit, it was a kind of a mission visit. They made us, over a period of 3 months, learn 22 Korean songs. Nancy and I sang Korean songs. So we went there, and this was in preparation for what is called the Mission Sunday. And they had all the missionaries from the different nations where the church has sent missionaries to, and they all would come back, and they had a very glorious Sunday. But we went there 3 or 2 weeks before the Mission Sunday. So we had the opportunity to actually be there in the last seat, in the middle seat, and also in the main sanctuary. I mean, we still have a picture of that. Picture of us singing right there, Paul Yong-Cho there, and all the elders and the huge choir and the entire church listening to us sing. Sometimes God gives you some privileges, you know, fringe benefits. But that was a glorious experience. I'm always trying to see what glorious. And definitely that was a glorious experience. I mean, the church would just explode. I mean, they're beautiful singers, the huge choir, not one choir, there's so many choirs. Now we see many churches have, you know, 5 choirs, 6 choirs and all that, but there they had it in 1995, talking 24 years ago. And with all this, right in the middle, they will start worshipping in tongues. And the Koreans, if you leave them to worship in tongues, they will never stop. So they had a bell, ting, 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 and then they'll have to stop. Glorious worship. We actually saw it. Glory. And the Lord says, the latter glory will be greater than the former glory. And not only that, during the week we would go, every day we would go. There was a huge sanctuary and there was a huge building. I mean, there were so many stories. And every building had people. And every nation had a room, like they had an India room, India hall. So people for India, all that will be there. So huge building. So it was not just on a Sunday. Through the week, there was a glory. There was something happening. There was worship. There was prayer. I mean, I've never seen a church which had such a huge building as an office building for a church that was equally big. They had huge churches and small offices. But this had a huge church and a huge office space for every nation. I mean, every nation where they had sent missionaries to, they had halls. And that was another thing, you know, during the week. And the glory of God was there in every meeting. And they had all night prayer. It was like never ending. We understood nothing. But you know, we understood the spirit behind the prayer. We understood the spirit behind the prayer. And from beginning to end, it was all night prayer. Not, we didn't stop at 12 o'clock. We didn't stop at 1 o'clock. It went on till 3, 4 in the morning. The glory of God. The glory of God. And then there was the fasting prayer. Friday they would have fasting prayer. 9 o'clock to about 2 o'clock or so. And we actually have pictures of women carrying the babies on the backs. You know, like the tea planters carry tea in the back. They're having babies in the back, and they would come for the fasting prayer. No wonder the glory of God came back. No wonder the glory. You know, the promise is that the Lord says in this temple, the temple that doesn't look so flashy, so glorious and magnificent as Solomon's temple, the Lord is saying, it doesn't matter how it looks outward. Inside, I will bring my glory, and this glory will be greater than any past glory. You know, this verse is a verse of continuum, meaning whatever passed, not just Solomon's time. For Solomon's time, this promise. For Haggai's time, this promise was referring to Solomon's time. For our time, God is saying greater glory than any glory in the past. Do you believe it, church? Please come for the online prayer. One representative from each family, just come. You will see the glory descend. You know, when I saw the people come for the fasting prayer, when I saw the people come and just pour themselves out in prayer, they don't come with lists and prayers. They just come and, you know, just pour themselves. I didn't understand what they were praying for sure. But, you know, they were all praying. Somebody is praying, they hear somebody else is praying. You know, they just, their mouths are constantly open and uttering prayer. I tell you, the glory will come. Glory will come. We don't have fasting prayer. Pastor, all night prayer, we're not able to come. Don't add one more. Please, I am going to add very soon. Okay? And I believe that you will come. Make time for God. God will make time for you in your work, in your family. I tell you that. Just a minute, I'll tell you. Prayer Mountain. So, we went to the Prayer Mountain. Prayer Mountain has rooms, halls. People can just come, shut themselves inside and be there for days, hours. Prayer Mountain is a place where the people come and receive healing and go. They say, I'm not well. They come here. They say, this is my problem. They just come there, pray, get healed and go. This is Prayer Garden, Manna Farm. Okay? One day this will also be a Prayer Garden, not mountain. I don't want to make a mountain here, get into trouble. But you know, this is Prayer Garden. I want us to just remember, you know, if we have a problem, we go call the doctor. If we have a problem, we call somebody else. We call Prayer Tower. Come here. Make this your prayer mountain. Make this your prayer mountain. Make your house a prayer mountain. The Lord is saying, I will fill this place with glory. The latter glory will be greater than the former glory. And not only that, we were there for 26 days. And we had the opportunity of visiting Methodist Church, Baptist Church, Presbyterian Church, so many churches. One thing that I found common was the glory of God. The presence of God was there. They would just, their eyes when they're open itself, it's like it's closed. You know, one line. Blah. So, when they close their eyes, the presence of God. We can just see the presence of God. Because we don't understand what they're saying, but we can feel the presence of God. This is not only in one church. You know, that experience God took us to so many places was to see that the glory of God is not because of the music, is not because of the building, is not because of the PA system, is not because of all the systems that they operated. No. The glory of God is because God said, my glory will come. People thirst, the hunger came and cried out to God, and God kept his promise. Kept his promise. 5 o'clock in the morning, every day, this prayer. So we said, let's go and see what this 5 o'clock prayer is. Even the 5 o'clock, they start. Whether the people are not, they'll just start. Just start. 6 o'clock, they close. And you know what? Lot of them are coming from distant places. So after they finish the prayer, they lie down and sleep. 6 to 7.30 they are sleeping there in the church. And 7.38 they go to work from there. You know, the priority for the presence of God, the glory of God to be in their lives was so strong that made it a priority, made it a part of the timetable, even on the working week, during the week. Glory of God. Hallelujah. You want the glory of God?
Yes.
In your lives, in your houses, in your, you know, every day. You know, my prayer is that we will see the glory of God every day, not only on Sunday. In John chapter 2, verse 19, Jesus, the people asked Jesus, what is the sign? Jesus went into the temple. He found the money changers. He found those people who were doing business inside the temple. He pushed them out and sent them out. He drove them out. He used the whip and drove them out. And the people asked, what sign? What are you doing? Because you're doing all these things. What sign will you give us? Jesus said, I will destroy this body and destroy this temple and raise it up in 3 days. The Bible says that the disciples did not understand that. But when he died, when he rose again, they understood that Jesus said this about his body. And Jesus said this about his body because this body is the body of church, is the body of Christ. Church is the body of Christ. He died, he was buried, he rose again, and on the third day, on that confession that Jesus is the Christ, and on that faith, the church has been built. You and I are here on that conviction that Jesus died for our sins. He was buried. He was raised again on the third day. He's ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father. He is interceding for us. This is our faith in which the church is built. Buildings, again, chapter 24, Matthew 1 and 2. People were looking at the buildings and saying, look at these buildings, Jesus. Jesus was not going to be enamored. He says, all these things will come down. That building that they built, the second temple that they built, Herod the Great, he extended it. He made it look more glorious. And the disciples were trying to say, look, Herod built all this. Look at it, Jesus. Jesus said, every stone will come down. Will come down. And sure enough, 70 AD, the Romans destroyed the temple. Destroyed the temple. But Jesus said, my temple, which is my temple? My temple is my body, which will die, which will be raised again. And after that, the temple, which is where Jesus is the head, and his body is the temple. You and I being the body, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ is being built. And in that, the Lord was saying, this glory, I will have my glory right there. And that will be greater than any of the previous glories. You know, when Jesus was there and he was doing all these miracles, it was wonderful. But you know what? Everything that Jesus did was replicated, and even greater signs. Greater signs. John 14, 12 says, greater things you will do. Greater things than these you will do. What happened? You know, God keeps certain things for us to do. I know when you're listening to this, you're saying, not for us, Pastor. This is for Peter, this is for Paul, this is for the Old Testament saints, but not for us. I want to stop right here and say, this is for you. This is for you. You know how many times Jesus would have gone into that Jerusalem temple? And every time Jesus went into the Jerusalem temple, that man, lame man, was there. He was there from birth. But you know what? Jesus left that man lame. Let him be there, saying, after me will come a man called Peter. Peter and John will come into this temple. And they will look at this lame man. The lame man will ask, give me something. And you know, these people will say, silver and gold I don't have, but what I have I give you. They held him by the right hand and said, in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. The glory of God descended. Is that, what is glory? Is it just a shining light? Glory is when the presence of God does something wonderful. And this man being born lame from birth, being healed, is the glory of God coming there? Is that right or not? I tell you, if glory of God comes like this in our houses, we don't need to preach. They'll all come. We'll have a big queue around our houses. Big queue. You know, news like this reaches very fast. If you're driving out demons, you will have a waiting list. You will have a waiting list. That is the glory of God. Because people will know, if you go there, you'll get the demons will go, and there'll be a waiting list. I'm praying there'll be a waiting list here. Of people from outside, not here. We will be the demon cast. Ones who? Demon drivers. Casting out demons. And people will come. We will be the ones who will lay hands on the sick and the sick will be healed. I want you to have this faith. I want you to believe. You know, when you hear, you know, this is the normal thing. The traditional, you know, we've become so used to tradition. Go and sit in a church, listen, come back. That's enough for me. No. On the 7th anniversary, I want to say, don't be satisfied. Don't be satisfied with where you are. If you're satisfied with where you are, that is what you'll get. I'm saying, don't be satisfied. And it's for those who are hungry, for those who are not satisfied. The Lord is saying, I will do this in your life. I will do this in your life. I will do this. God will do. Don't look at yourself and say, this has not happened in the past. It will not happen. Just allow the Lord. Lord, yes, it has not happened in the past. Will it happen in the future? Lord, please do something. And the Lord will do. Acts 19:19. Magicians, sorcerers in the city of Ephesus, they came and burned their magic books. What was earning money for them, they just came and burnt it. That's the kind of glory that descended there. Acts 29:1. Let's turn with me to Acts 29:1. There's no Acts 29. Acts 29 is the chapter that you and I have to write. Okay? Acts 29 is the chapter that God wants you and I to write. For the glory of God to descend. Glory of God will descend. And the Bible says, we all with unveiled faces, as if looking into the mirror, looking into the glory of God, are being transformed into His likeness. God wants His glory to come into our lives. I want us to believe that. And when you believe that, God will allow His glory to descend into our lives, and His glory will shine in and through our lives. That is God's purpose. That is God's plan. Don't be satisfied with the nominal. Amen. You know, very often we think we are trying to do something. Right? You know what? The Bible says, turn with me to Isaiah chapter 9. The Bible says, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 7. The last verse. The zeal of the Lord of hosts himself, the Lord of hosts will perform this. All those seven verses before this, it says, God's zeal. You think, you know, before you and I have some zeal, God has initiated this. God has initiated zeal from His side. Almighty God has initiated. You know, I like this promise. I want us to read verse 3. This is harvesting promise. Okay? You have multiplied the nation, increased its joy. They rejoice before you according to the joy of harvest, as men rejoice. Harvesting. Church, please remember, you are harvest people. Okay? Harvest people always have harvest, always have seed and harvest, seed to sow, seed in the granary, seed in your banks, okay? Harvest and rejoicing. Joy, when there is a good harvest, it's rejoicing. When 20 coconut trees dry up after a bad summer, they're still rejoicing. I feel bad when I see this. I feel very sad, but I still rejoice. Because God is the one who gives the harvest. And God is giving us harvest enough to rejoice. And read 6 and 7. There are two mention of two governments. And the government will be upon his shoulder. And there's no end to the increase of his government. This is the glory of God. When Jesus Christ came onto this earth, there's a new government that he has installed. It's not the government of David. It's not the kingdom of Judah. It's not the kingdom of Israel. It's not the
kingdom of the kings of Israel or Judah. It's a new institution. It's the kingdom of God in the hearts of people, and you and I are called to reign in this kingdom. And he says the government shall be upon his shoulders, Jesus Christ's shoulder. The government shall be upon the, we read this verse around Christmas, Jesus' birth. We say, okay, the kingdom, the government shall be upon his shoulders. We think it is Jesus Christ's shoulders. You know what? Jesus Christ's shoulders it was for those 3.5 years. After 3.5 years, God made a slight change, paradigm shift actually. Jesus Christ became the head, and you and I became the body, and you and I are the church of God, and the government is on our shoulders. Hallelujah. If you believe this, then the glory of God will come. And this governance is not an ordinary government. There's no end to the increase of his government. That is the promise. This government is not an ordinary government. You know, we look at the people around, we look at the people of this world, we look at that outer glory, and we become small. I've seen wealth, I've seen position, I've seen power, I've been to some very high places, but all these things don't tempt me anymore. All these things I see as lesser glory. Lesser glory. Lesser glory. Because the government is upon our shoulders, and there is no end to the increase of this government. I want us to be encouraged. I want us to, you know, grip this, not idea, this grip this promise that God has given, that you and I are part of this governance, you and I are part of this government, that we are the government of God, the kingdom of God, and in this government there is no end to the increase. Jesus Christ is the head. He is wonderful, counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father. He is the Prince of Peace. And finally, you know, all this is happening not because of your idea, your zeal, my zeal. No, it is because the zeal of the Lord of hosts which will accomplish this. Zeal of the Lord of hosts. Don't look at yourself. I really want us to say, you know, don't look at yourself. Look at God who will make this happen in your life. Look at God who will make this happen in your life. When I was in college, 2-year-old believer, we used to go out to for outreach. We used to go to other colleges. Once went to the city of Palni. You know, we went there for a follow-up meeting. Went to visit the colleges. And the church, they said, can you preach in the evening? I said, okay. You know, when you're in college, somebody asks you to preach. They're looking at you also and asking, who am I? But you know, they're given a chance, I said, let's preach. After the message was over, I was so happy it was over. But you know what happened? He said, now can you pray for people? Now you finish preaching. Now you have to exercise faith. What you have preached, you have to practice. And then they brought a woman who was possessed. I said, Lord, I'm not used to this. I don't know what to do. But you know what? When we prayed, the woman just fell flat. It is not you. It is the zeal of the Lord of hosts that shall accomplish this. Don't look at yourself. If you are open to go and serve the Lord in whatever way you have, whatever time you have, the Lord will endorse it, because it's the zeal of the Lord that will accomplish this. The increase of the government is not yours. It is from Him, and it will increase. John 2:17. When Jesus in the temple drew out those people, drew out the money changers, drew out those people selling sheep and cattle in the temple, it was said about him. It was said about him. Quoting an Old Testament passage, the zeal of the Lord. You know, the people said, it wasn't Jesus. They looked at Jesus and said, the zeal of the Lord of hosts. This is the zeal. Oh, it's the zeal that has, you know, gripped him, and he's doing this. You know what? Jesus, the Old Testament quotation was actually David. David in all his difficulty, read Psalm 69, it's a bad psalm, it's a difficult psalm. David passing through all this, he's saying with all that pain and agony, he's saying, the zeal of the Lord, zeal of the Lord, your temple, zeal of, let's read that, Psalm 69, verse 9.
because zeal for your house has eaten me up. Another verse says, consume me. What's eating you up? I ask you, what's eating you up? The list, if you write, will be pathetic. You have to put it in a dustbin only. People being eaten up with all petty things, you know, things of this world. So that is why we need the glory of God. The things of this earth will grow strangely dim in the light of your glory and grace. We sing that. If the light of the glory is in your heart and in your lives, you will not crib over anything. All your cribbing lists will just go to the dustbin, because the zeal for the house of God should consume. And this is what happened to David. And what happened to David, they are saying, what happened to David is happening to Jesus Christ. What an analogy. You know what? The Lord wants to reverse it. What happened to Jesus, He wants to happen to us. What happened to Jesus Christ has to happen to us. The zeal for the house of God, zeal for the things of God. I tell you, that zeal grips us. That is the hunger. What do we hunger for? That's really a hunger. What is the thing that we hunger for? That's when fasting will be, you know, you won't hunger for food, you'll hunger for the presence of God. You won't hunger for things, you hunger for the things of God. You won't hunger for, you know, our petty things, we'll hunger for the things that matter in eternity. We won't hunger for our own agenda. We'll see what God's agenda is. I want to close. Let's see the glory of God. You know, Isaiah chapter 6, we see Isaiah saw the glory of God. Isaiah saw the glory of God. In the year that King Uzziah died, he saw the Lord. The Bible says, turn with me to Isaiah. We're going to close with this. Isaiah chapter 6. I saw the Lord sitting on the throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. That was one day. Isaiah saw the vision of God one day. How many of you want to see the vision of God one day? One day. But you know what? This is Old Testament. This is Old Testament. The New Testament, the Lord says, not one day, but every day. Every day. Every day. Every minute. You know who sees right there in the Old Testament passage? There were seraphim that were right there in the presence of God. And they are seeing the glory of God 24/7. They're seeing it every day. They're seeing it 365 days in a year. They're seeing it for eternity. And you know how they're seeing it. And that's the lesson. That's the lesson. To read that. They have six wings. Six wings. And feet. Feet means they can run. Have you seen ostriches? At least in the movies. Ostriches can't fly. But these seraphim, they have six wings. And it's said that they are doing three things. With two wings, they arrest the feet, movement of the feet. If you want to see the glory of God, slow down. In the pace that we are, God is not able to keep pace with us. We are running ahead of Him. When the guardian angels aren't able to fly at speed with us, slow down. Slow down. 2 feet. The two wings are arresting the 2 feet. Two more wings. You know what they are arresting? They are arresting the sight. They're closing the eyes. The wings are on the face. They're closing the eyesight. Sight. Vision. Our vision for the things of this earth. Our vision for what we see. You know, the Bible has a lot of... read the Bible, you can do good business. You know what the Bible says? The eyes of man are never satisfied. So any business that is, you know, movies or internet or media or anything that can keep your eyes occupied, you will always do well in business. Eyes. That's why these wings, the eyes are closed. Eyes are closed. Eyes are rested. Feet movement, eye movement arrested. And then the third thing it does, constantly speak, saying, holy, 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 Lord,
God Almighty, heaven and earth are full of your glory. If our mouth is used to saying, holy, 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 heaven and earth are full of your glory. Forget everything else, just saying, holy God, holy, holy, holy. You know, our eyes are arrested and our feet are arrested as well. We will see the glory of God. Hallelujah. Make a covenant today. Today is a very special day. Make a commitment saying, Lord, I want to see your glory. You said, Lord, that I will fill this temple. When you said that ordinary temple, this is ordinary body. Your body is the temple of the living God. Your mouth will stop saying the wrong thing. Some people cannot say anything good. If you close your eyes, arrest your eye movement, arrest your feet movement, and spend time, God will wake you up at 4 o'clock in the morning. God will keep you awake at 12 o'clock in the morning to see His glory. Feet arrested, kneel down. Eyes arrested, close your eyes. Open your mouth and speak. He'll give you a new tongue. And you will see the glory of God. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we pray, Master. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for Isaiah. He saw the vision one day. Father, Lord, you said, Master, we all with unveiled faces, as if looking in a mirror, seeing the glory of God, are being transformed. Father, we pray, Master, we will be transformed to see your glory, Father God. Not glory for one day, Father God. Glory all through our lives, Father God. You said, Lord, I will master my glory in this building, and the latter glory will be greater than the former glory. We want to see this glory, Lord. We want to see this glory. We pray, Father God, that you will fill us to the overflowing Holy Spirit of God. Take over. Take over. Take over. Take over. From the youngest to the eldest, Father, we pray your glory will be seen in our lives. Father, we thank you. Thank you. You will do this because this is your word, this is your promise. We want to believe it and receive it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.